For the sake of the recording, I'll repeat. This is the fourth class in our Dealing with Troubling Emotions series. And so the first class, we talked about Tara Brach's RAIN process. And so the recognize, accept, investigate, and then nurture or non-identification. So once we've, you know, gotten a sense of this troubling experience, then we do something. We do something to take care of ourselves or to turn the mind, as I'm talking about tonight. We do something. And then the second class was on anger, ill will, hatred, and resentment. And there are recordings of these classes available on the Bright Ways Zen website, thanks to our videographers. Then there was a class on fear, anxiety, worry, and dread. Tonight is on depression, cynicism, despair, and numbness. And my subtitle is Finding Our Way Back to the Light. And then we will have one more class in this series on, although I did, as I was listing some emotions for this class, I was like, yeah, what about jealousy and envy? We didn't talk about jealousy and envy. Should we do a class on that too? Okay, we'll tag on another class. But the next one will be on grief in the past, present, or future, opening to love and appreciation, even in the face of inevitable loss. So tonight, I'm going to give hopefully a very brief intro, and then we're going to go into small groups I'll give you a question, and then we'll come back, do a little bit of reporting back and have an open discussion. Part of the reason that I'm emphasizing those groups in particular for this series is because we're all so different with respect to our personalities and the emotions that tend to predominate in our lives, and that I'm something of an authority on our tradition, on our practices, on Buddhism, what have you, but I'm not an expert on human emotions, and I'm limited in a sense to my own experience. So sometimes what you hear from other Sangha members might, you know, be really what you need to hear, might be just as inspiring as anything you hear from me. Okay. So briefly reviewing, what we are talking about is practicing with troubling emotions. So I'm not saying in any way that you are not going to be trying to work on changing your external circumstances. Maybe your external circumstances are stressful and troubling and unjust and chaotic and whatever, then you may need to be dealing with that, but that's not what we're talking about. Practice is what we choose to do with our own body and mind to hopefully reduce suffering, increase compassion and wisdom, regardless of what happens externally. So practice, I mean, we're affected by our conditions. Buddhism doesn't deny that, but our practice is something that we do so that we find some relief, some liberation, regardless of what happens. So it's not dependent on, right? It's not dependent on suddenly being healthy. It's not dependent on getting a good job. It's not dependent on a relationship working out. It's that we find some peace anyway. So we're living deliberately. And the essence of the Buddha's teaching is really, I feel like this is, if I had to sum Buddhism up in like one short sentence or phrase, it would be, we are not victims of our conditions, that we can change the state of our own mind and heart, regardless of conditions. So that's a very, as long as we don't use that for self-blame, like, you know, oh, you shouldn't feel that way. Like, you know, it's not that we should be able to escape all troubling emotions and, you know, feel wonderfully at peace all the time. It's not like that's therefore, if you're a Buddhist, you shouldn't get upset. The point is just that you can do something about this. And that's, I think, very, very optimistic. Very, very, like, that's why no matter, you know, people bring Buddhism into the prisons. They bring Buddhism into very different, difficult circumstances. And you never say to somebody, oh, you know, well, your situation's too bad, you know, this isn't going to help. No matter, I mean, in fact, like almost like the worse things get, the more powerful practice can be. It's not that it's easy, but it can be very powerful. So, depression, cynicism, despair, numbness. So for, I didn't even bother to look up definitions this time. I just kind of saying, and so if you end up having different definitions of these or different experiences of these, feel free to speak up or mention that when we're sharing. So cynicism, I feel like this is when we know the answer, we know what's going on, and it's bad. So it's, you know, it's like in a way like the opposite in a way of an optimist or somebody who's just like, yes, I know everything is going to turn out great. Well, the cynic is like, everything's going to turn out like crap, and I know it. So it's really, it's not operating in that don't, because we really don't know, right? But a cynic, like, suspects people's motivations, they just suspect everything. It's just kind of a negative chip on your shoulder about everything. And then despair, I feel like there's many different dimensions to this, but a key part is that our sense of hope, our sense of efficacy are really damaged and compromised, that there's something in particular, not just that we, you know, there's a difficult situation or that we're fearful of something, but that we're like, we don't feel like we can do anything about it, right? There's an aspect of that relates to our personal role. And then numbness has this aspect of being overwhelmed, the deadening of our natural responses, which feeds into depression, where we start to shut down and withdraw. We stop taking care of ourselves or appreciating life, you know, which probably has some of this despair and numbness in it, and then at another level, this depression sneaks in. And most, or perhaps all, of these troubling emotions tend to be accompanied by what they call perseveration. So there's just loops in your mind that you go over and over and over, whether that's anger or that's anxiety or that's, you know, cynicism or despair. We just, our mind just gets kind of stuck in this loop, and it just perpetuates that same mind state, that same emotion. So one of the things I want to share my screen, and we've concluded in the Dirt Zendo here that we need a bigger TV. We need a TV about twice as big as what we have, because
sports bar.
I don't, like, yeah, like, because you know, we thought we got a big TV, but now when there's more people, they're across the room from it, and it's pretty small. But for what it's worth, I will share my screen so that we can do a little. I guess it's not that much worse than if I held up a big blackboard and was trying to. So, I was curious, because the last class, we talked about fear, anxiety, worry, and dread. And I was thinking, you know, those are negative emotions, but we're concerned that something bad is going to happen or is happening. And then what I was curious about, like, what when we move from fear, anxiety, worry, and dread to depression, cynicism, despair, and numbness, that there's something else happens. It's like they're kind of related, but it feels like this second set takes on a different kind of characteristic. So I don't know if that, Bob.
I was going to say, this looks like the fear, anxiety, worry, and dread is about looking toward the future. And depression, cynicism, despair, and numbness is looking at the present and the past.
So anybody on Zoom who wants to, or the Cloud Zender who wants to say something, either just unmute yourself and say something, or use the raise hand function to click. I think you click reactions on the bottom and then choose raise hand, because I can't see everybody while I'm sharing my screen. So, and anybody in the Zendo who wants to, or Dirt Zendo who wants to say anything, just come sit in this chair and wait. And then when we get to you, because you have to be close to this microphone so the Cloud Zendo can hear you. Betty.
What comes to mind for me is sort of a progression from the first to the latter set. Like in between that, the mediator is exhaustion. You just have had it. And so I give up.
Yeshe.
I was going to say that depression isn't limited to the past and the present. It's global. It's future. There's just a big black hole of nothing in space or time.
Jinmyu in the Zendo.
I'm just going to take a stab at this. I came up here to see it better and to understand the question. So I'm just going to take a stab and say, because I do think this, that these are all just various stages in the path of living in my head and staying in my head. This is the element of, I hope this doesn't sound critical to anybody, because I suffer from some of these things. And, but it is not lost on me, the element of me that's going on.
Charles.
I was going to say that I don't want to like victim blame or anything like that, but I think that like there's almost some sort of cooperation that goes from like it's within the second group, it's not in the first group, where it's almost like the second group is like when you feed the first group, if that makes sense.
Yeah, let me see. So then
I don't know how you'd put that in like a few minutes,
Ilmio.
Yeah.
I think the emotions you mentioned today, cynicism, numbness, and despair, I think we've internalized when we've gotten to that stage, as someone, Betty said, exhaustion between the two. But fear, which we talked about in the list last week, fear can bring someone to action. Their emotions seem to be more present. Whereas these today seem to be more internalized and all connected. So this is good. You're moving us through this. Brings to mind Shakespeare's plays.
Yeah. Sabrina. Did you unmute? I can't hear you.
Sorry, I thought I had.
Ah, I was going to
add, as a reminder to myself and everybody, that everyone's experience of these is not the same.
Mm-hmm.
That's an important point to me, that deciding there is a certain way of doing these things or experiencing these, that's pretty far off, I think, and I'd want to be careful not to do that. Aside from that, the second set, for me, reminds me possibly as grouping those as a type of pain, because underlying a lot of those can be grief.
Mm.
Previously, we've talked about grief being a sort of pain. The first set, I haven't decided, but it strikes me again, we've talked about, you know, the second arrow and what we add to situations. And that's not to say that anxiety is something that people add, but potentially some of that, like hand-wringing and rumination, might be the second arrow, whereas the other set is grief that we've decided previously in other talks is not the same kind of second arrow situation.
Hmm. Thank you.
Tony, you got something in the chat. I think someone included a thing.
Oh, let's see. Anxiety and depression are flip side of the same coin. What is different? It feels like the kind of the I think there's some key here where, like, anxiety, you're still fighting, you know, you're still struggling in a way, and then there's a kind of, and from what I've heard, now I do not, my teacher told me that I have never experienced depression. What I experience is despair. So I have in the past experienced very, very negative, bleak, and a certain time in my life, even somewhat suicidal frame of mind. But it was very painful, and it was very, there was still a kind of a struggle. But from what I've heard from friends who really, like, got clinically depressed, they said it's like, they're under the sea. Everything else is happening up above the sea. So I feel like there's this point, maybe it is like that exhaustion where we just start to shut down, and therefore, like, we don't take care of ourselves, and it just, you know, can be a cycle going down too. So yeah, like, I think it can sound negative and judgmental to say, like, giving up, but on the other hand, we're human, and especially if this is, you know, it's feeding on itself, or we are chemically, genetically, whatever, inclined to this mind state, that it can try to trick us to giving up, I guess. So how about Joan in the Dirt Sando?
Yeah, the word that comes to mind for me is overwhelmed. So, I mean, I can relate most to numbness. I've experienced a lot of fear and anxiety, and when I can't deal with it, I have to get away from it, and that's numbing it out. So it's just like an overwhelm
It's too big. I don't know what to do. I don't have any tools. I got to get away from it. So overwhelmed is the word that comes to my mind. Thank you. And then Paulette?
I was thinking that fear and anxiety and worry, I'm not sure about dread. It feels like the energy is moving up. And for depression and despair, the energy is moving down. So like when I feel fearful or anxious, I feel like this rapid heart rate kind of speeding up. And when I feel depressed and despairing, I feel like slower, you know, and it's more going down. So that's how I see the difference.
Thanks. I think that's really apt. Sabrina, did you have something more?
I guess I was thinking about this. I have relatives who struggle with generalized anxiety. They tend to be kind of constant narrative making, what might happen, what someone's thinking, what's going to happen, kind of preparing for that all the time. I tend towards depression more, and the narrative making isn't so much a part of that, at least in my experience. It's more that the narrative has happened, and it's not even just that it's past, but that you're not guessing so much. It's not that constant needing to prop up an idea. It's just what you're left with.
So the depressed narrative, would you say, is just not, it's not about the future so much for you?
Not so much. It's, again, lots of different experiences. Yeah. Many folks with depression have that kind of negative self-talk. I haven't experienced that. It's more situational. Like, look at the state of things.
Yeah.
Now, yes, you can be caught up in either attachment to an idea of how it should be is one problem, and then you're grieving that it's not. And the idea that you're right still. So yes, there's a narrative there probably, but it's still sort of like, well, look around. Is it wrong? You know.
Thank you. Thank All right, you. One more. We have Joe in the dirt zendo.
I was thinking that on the left hand side of that arrow, it's very active. Whereas on the right-hand side, it feels more passive. So there's action happening. And then on the other side, it's due to an overwhelm or like a lowering of the energy. I feel like all of those experiences are very passive, allowing things to happen to you or to sit in it versus maybe a little bit more forward-leaning.
Thank you. Great, I think we have enough juices flowing to move on then. So briefly before,
how about Betty?
Betty, I think she just didn't turn her, she didn't put her hand down. She just said something early. So just briefly before we break out, and I don't know if Bob, if you have those ready, 3 to 4 people.
I can't, as long as you've got the sharing of the screen.
I will stop that then.
Thank you.
So briefly before we do that, no matter what is going on, there are more or less, so no matter what is going on in our circumstances, even if we have very, you know, good reasons, if you will, to feel fear, anxiety, distress, despair, and then, you know, like to kind of go into this more internal despairing state, that is, I think we can all agree, not a very helpful mind state. You know, whether it's quote unquote justified or not, it's not, it's painful, it's self-perpetuating, it encourages us to not take care of ourselves, it you know, there's, it's not a positive mind state. So the only the only thing to be done is to dig ourselves out of the hole. But unfortunately, and this is the really tricky part about these particular emotions, is that they tend to undermine our motivation or our confidence to do it. But by their very nature, we tend to not think that we can that anything can actually change. Which is why I just having experienced the level of despair that I have, I just have the utmost respect for people who have pulled themselves gradually out of depression. I mean, it's like scrabbling out of that hole when everything tells you just to sink back into it. So that will, that hard work, that determination is very incredible. So we are not independent of conditions, internal or external. So none of this is saying that we shouldn't try to work on external circumstances. And also, even if we are very devoted to practice, we may benefit from medication or counseling or other kinds of help as well. So my own teacher struggled with depression. She calls herself, like, just, I guess it's something you continued. You know, that's the direction that you can go for the rest of your life, really. And so for a while, she described, even though she was practicing, that medication essentially allowed her to practice. It's like it got you far enough that you could actually do something and practice, or, you know, in a broader sense that I'm going to talk about later. So just keep that in mind. But I think we can all agree that a more positive mind state is beneficial if it is possible in some way. So my question for the groups are, if you find yourself feeling these kinds of emotions, cynical, in despair, numb, depressed, what works to help you turn you back toward the light? If you have a different way you want to put it, you're welcome, but helps turn, you know, start getting you out of that hole, starts bringing the energy back up, starts turning you toward the light. So we can do that for 10 minutes and then come back, and please pick somebody in your group to bring something back. We don't necessarily have to hear from every group, but it's nice to hear a little something when we come back. And just a reminder of no advice giving, please. It can be very easy to slip into that if somebody confesses that they have struggled with something in the past or are struggling with something, to then, you know, try to help problem solve for that person or tell them how you've solved that problem in the past, to just, you know, try to trust that one another, that person is working on it. And all of us are going to have experiences where we go into these kinds of mind states, and then we have to find our way out, and just kind of trusting that people are on their own journey there, and we're not all going to be in the same place with respect to these emotions. So with that, Bob, if you wouldn't mind opening the breakout rooms. All right. Thank you, Bob, for the bell. That works well. Yeah, it's just like It's harder to stay on a timeline in the dirt Zendo. In the cloud Zendo, like, your breakout room's done. That's it. Mid-sentence, it's over. We're like, what? Right, so we have a few minutes. I'll reserve the last 2 minutes or so for a little wrap up. So anybody want to just share something that they heard, that they shared in their group, they just thought was worth everybody hearing? Charles, you're still muted.
I just thought that I could make this quick, but we kind of had two different theories. One of them was just kind of like doing something, like whether that be exercising or talking to a friend or something like that. Everything is temporary. So if you do something to get your mind out of that loop, eventually that feeling will pass. And then the second one is like gratitude practice, however that works best for you, but like figuring out what you're grateful for. And then oftentimes once you like tally it all up, it outnumbers whatever is bothering you. So those are the two key takeaways.
Chris?
Yeah, we discussed not getting caught up in the thinking that you should respond in a different way, you know, not pressuring yourself to think that you should, you know, not have those emotions. Or another way of putting it is not feeling guilty for the way you're feeling. You know, guilt can sometimes perpetuate the condition. Some depression is not related to external factors. So, you know, there's all kinds of complexities involved with that. Again, the theme of acceptance, not trying to force it, or just having that tolerance for staying in that state. Other thing we discussed was more of a preventative, you know, kind of that, not just the space between fear and anxiety going into depression, but also what is that space between the trigger that goes into fear and anxiety, and kind of thinking about how to control that and prevent yourself from progressing down the path where, you know, emotional state may be increasing and become increasingly difficult to think logically.
Thank you. Zender, you just come up and sit in the chair. Paulette?
We also had someone say that family helps, like being close to our family and being able to talk it out with our family members.
Depends on your family.
Depends on your family.
All right, I was, am I okay?
Yep, Joe.
Okay, I was voted spokesperson. I liked the image of lizarding in the sun, getting out to the sun and lizarding around. That was cool. There was talk about physical activity and just having a physically active component towards some of these experiences. And then also using trusted people as sounding boards, be that, you know, friends, spouses, etc.
One of the things that came up in our group, started thinking about it, and I'm going to throw this out there, and you know, if anybody has any comment on it, you're welcome. But I recognized that for me, like the fear, anxiety, that kind of, you know, things can be upsetting, whether that's external or internal, you know, negative narratives and fear and all that. But that's at a certain point, like these four emotions that we're talking about tonight, it seems like our negativity becomes generalized. It's no longer just about this circumstance or this thing is just like, it becomes more life is shit. My situation is shit. I am shit. And then it like, it in a way, it doesn't even matter what the details are anymore. They're all just examples of how everything is shit. And if anything is good, it's like, you know, it doesn't count. Like a very kind of generalized negativity, which I think is a very, you know, then we start to go down that slope where everything negative just confirms our conclusion. And you don't have to just, at this point, we can just open it up. It doesn't have to be sharing from a group. Paula?
I think animals are really helpful, personally. Like, I think Marv also said this, but like, just having animals around. I don't like to dump on my animals because, you know, they suck up everything, but at the same time, it's just nice to have them around, you know? They're just really... like almost like little angels. So that's nice.
Betty.
I want to thank the people that were in our breakout group for sharing so much. For some reason, this topic is really affecting me really deeply. I haven't ever really that I've acknowledged suffered from depression. But my dad was clinically depressed for a lot of years and had meds and psychotherapy and electroconvulsive therapy and the whole bit. And it was difficult to watch him go through that, and reminds me, and our conversation reminded me how debilitating depression and despair can really be. And so thanks for this, I think. Anyway, I'll work on that. Thank you.
Jason.
You know, one of the things that was mentioned in the group that I was in was creativity, like writing or producing something or making something. I thought that was a really good one. I know a lot of times when you're depressed, you don't feel like being creative or doing much of anything. But I think that's a good way to lead yourself back out of that possibly.
There does seem to be a, you know, a theme of just of engagement, you know, and if like earlier we were saying, if this is where the energy is starting to move down, you know, almost anything to get some of the energy moving again, whether that's, you know, go outside, sink your hands in the dirt, you know, interact with a playful animal, you know, make yourself see people, talk to people, you know, do something artistic with your hands. It's incredibly humbling and very, to some extent, scary to just contemplate how completely, how radically different our mind states can be, and how when we are in these really negative states, which some of us may have never experienced, or actually in our group, we're kind of talking, you know, kind of as a young adult maybe, and not since, fortunately, or, you know, some of us have just maybe, you know, flirted with this or had brief experiences of this. But then, as Betty's pointing out, like we are surrounded by people who are struggling with this, And I just know that, like, I lived in the same world before and after my despair, right? Or during and after my despair. Like that, I was not surrounded by miserable circumstances, and yet everything was crap. There was no real reason to live. There was no real reason to make an effort. Nothing was enjoyable. Everything was like experienced through a filter. Like you couldn't really taste. You couldn't really, it's like, yeah, I suppose that's beautiful. Like just nothing. So, and when we're there, it's so all consuming and it seems like it's going to, that is the truth. That is reality. And other people, who knows why they don't see it, but, and that, like, it's the same life. It's the same life after, like, what we say in our Kyoju Kaimon, the precept scripture, we say, Sangha is they who release their suffering. You know, that, and it's not easy. It's not easy to release our suffering. It's not just like, well, do it, and then, yeah, all right, we'll go try to go out in the world and go up to people and just see how that works. Just release your suffering. Oh, okay. That's what takes practice. But when we find out how to really, it's like the clouds parted and the sun came out again. And, you know, they're capable of feeling grateful and noticing there's other people alive and all of this, that this is, it's all right here. It's all right there. So that's like the good news and the bad news, right? But the I guess it's good news in the sense that it may be very, very hard, but there is hope to come out of those kinds of states. Jeannie.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, depression is something I suffer from, and you know, it can be extremely isolating, and people who have gone through depression will say that. And you know, one of the antidotes to depression is to get your body moving, connect with people, do, you know, and yet how incredibly difficult that can be. And again, while you feel quite isolated, and especially if you actually are physically alone, it can be very hard. And I think that for me, I appreciate this kind of a forum and this kind of a place to share, because knowing other people, you know, I put on a mask. I don't know about the rest of you, but I put on a mask. I mean, I'm a happy person. I suffer from depression and I'm happy both. But I'll put on a mask, you know, I don't want other people to know I have serious depression or any of those things, but talking about it here and hearing other people helps. So that maybe if I am in a deep depression, you know, and I feel that isolation, there might be a little bit of energy to say, okay, this happens to people. You know, I know that. I talk to other Sangha members. It happens. People I've never even talked to before, and they're sharing something, you know, so I appreciate that. And I think having this is really helpful, and just hearing those stories. So thank you to all of you.
Thank you. Yeah, so just to wrap it up, it's like the practice, just like it has been for the other troubling emotions, is to recognize, you know, what we are experiencing is not us. It doesn't define us. It's an experience we are having. It's a perspective we are experiencing. It may be very preoccupying. May be very painful, whatever, but it's it does not define us. It's a part of us. It's a part of our experience. And therefore, we can move on. We can be something else. It does not always have to be thus. Whereas Suzuki Roshi says, not always so, is like his summary of Buddhism. So, all right, one more comment. Yashe Tsoki.
I just want to say thank you to Marv's dog for joining us. And I can see Marv reaching out to him, and his dog is just being pet. And it just brings so much wonderful energy. So thank you to your dog, Marv.
Yes, and all right. We dedicate the merit of this Sangha meeting to all so that they may be able to obtain the truth. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Prajna Paramita.
Thank you,
Damian.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.